And what a great truth and song. Amen. All right, we're going to get back into our study here in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. And as Pastor said, we've been looking at the good life. And so, Lord willing, tonight we're going to finish up this part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount and the part of the Beatitudes that I've been calling the good life, though I do believe that the same line of thought will carry into the next couple verses. If you look ahead at verse 13, 14, 15, 16, I believe they're still carrying that thought. I really believe that these first verses that we're looking at, first 12 verses here, are talking about the evidences of salvation. We've mentioned that numerous times during this series of messages. I believe that they're an evidence of salvation. And I believe that when we look into verse 13, 14, 15, 16, we're going to see the effects of salvation. Once we get saved, how it's going to have an effect on this world in which we live. And so we'll look at that in the coming weeks. But tonight I want to try to finish up these last couple verses on the Beatitudes. Now, I will tell you this as I get into it. Some would say that I'm getting ready to preach these Beatitudes, and some would say I'm going to preach this Beatitude. Honestly, I studied as in depth as I can, and I'm not sure if this is one Beatitude or two. Because Jesus uses the phrase blessed twice, some people say that there's two Beatitudes addressed here. Verse number 10, blessed or blessed are they which are persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Some people say these are two separate Beatitudes, and some lump them together. I'm going to preach them together tonight. I don't know that I have a strong opinion about whether or not they're two separate ones, but I think they apply so much that we're going to look at them together. And so tonight, I'm going to look at what possibly is the greatest paradox of all in these Beatitudes. As we've looked at these, many of them, they don't make sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't make sense, right? Unless you're a Christian. Blessed are they that mourn. That doesn't make sense unless you understand it from the aspect of being a Christian. And so as you look at some of these Beatitudes, they're kind of paradoxical. They don't really make sense when you look at them. And of all of them, I think that these last two in verses 10 through 12, they may be the most of a paradox, the most that look like they don't make sense when you look at them, because they're talking about persecution. But as we look at these couple verses tonight, hopefully it will change or at least challenge our thinking about this topic. I'm just going to be honest with you as I preach this tonight. I always try to be honest with you when I'm preaching. Persecution's a hard topic to preach on. And one of the reasons is because I don't know that we know much of it. We've been blessed, right? I think. As we look into it, we may see that sometimes what we view as blessings aren't always as much of a blessing as we think they are. And I'm not saying that I want persecution. I sure don't. But I will say this, that as we're going to see tonight, sometimes persecution brings out the best in people. And we've lived in a time, I know I have, and many of you have, in an era and in a place. I shouldn't even say era, because really some say there's more persecution of Christianity today than there's ever been in the history of the church. I don't know if that's so or not. But I know there's parts of this world where if you're a Christian, you may lose your life for it. There's many parts and many places in this world where Christianity will cost you your family. But here in America, we've been blessed in that we haven't faced much persecution. But because of that fact, and many other aspects of it, but because of the fact that we haven't faced much persecution, it may be a part of why the church in America is dying. I don't know. I'm just saying. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that are persecuted." I'm going to go with what Jesus says. I don't want persecution. But Jesus says if it comes, you're blessed. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, right? talk falsely about you, when they shall make up stuff about you. Jesus said, you're blessed. And so we're going to look at that tonight, and I'm going to try to challenge us, and I hope it'll challenge you as it's challenged me. I want to kind of take the same approach that I've taken to all these Beatitudes as we've looked at them. I'll change my approach next week, Lord willing, but I've been kind of using this outline, and I want to finish out these Beatitudes with this outline. So the first thing I want to do tonight is give you the explanation. I want to try to explain to you what persecution is. Now, I believe that most of us understand persecution. We know what it means to be persecuted. We may not have ever experienced much of it, but we understand it. And I'm not minimizing that some people in this room tonight have experienced some sort of persecution. But I want to explain what persecution is. I want to give you an explanation of persecution. And the first thing I want to look at when I look at this explanation, I want to look at the methods of persecution that we see in these verses. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So I want to talk about the methods of persecution. You see, that word persecution in verse number 10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted, right? You see it verse number 10? Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. And it says, and persecute you. Verse number 12 says, near the end of the verse, it says, for so persecuted they the prophets. You say, what is persecution? What exactly does the word persecute mean? And so in these verses, I think the word persecute, and really in many other verses, the word persecute means to pursue, right? If you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, what you're going to find is that this word persecuted means to pursue, but it doesn't mean just to pursue, right? It means to pursue with an intent for injury or harm, right? We understand that. That's what the word persecute means. It means to pursue, but not just to pursue. It means to pursue with the intent of injury or of harm. I'll give you some verses of scripture to exemplify what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 22, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said this when he was standing before those Pharisees. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, and I persecuted this way unto the death, right? Paul said, I persecuted unto the death. I pursued with the intent to harm unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Acts chapter number 26, Paul standing before King Agrippa. He said, being exceedingly, he's given his testimony before King Agrippa. And he says, King Agrippa, you know how I've been. You know what I've done. And he said, being exceedingly mad against them, talking about Christians, he said, I persecuted them even unto death. You see, Paul said, I persecuted them, I pursued them with an intent to harm them, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul said, I persecuted the church of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 13, Paul said that he was the least of the apostles. He said, because, why? Because I persecuted the church of God. He said, I'm the least of all the saints. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. He said, I persecuted the church of God. In Philippians chapter number 3, when Paul's given that great list of all that he's done, he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he's of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know what he says in verse number 6 of Philippians chapter 3? He says, I persecuted the church of God. He said, persecuting them, right? Paul said, I was pursuing them with an intent to harm. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 10, Paul told Timothy this. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Listen to it. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, the man that was a persecutor became the persecuted, right? Paul said, you know my doctrine of life, Timothy. You know what's happened to me. You know how they persecuted me. He mentioned Iconium. He mentioned Lystra. You remember what happened to Paul at Lystra? He was stoned and left for dead outside the gates of Lystra. Paul said, yeah, I used to persecute the church of God, but now I'm being persecuted. What's happening to you, Paul? They're pursuing me with the intent to harm me, to injure me. We could go on and on with examples of violent persecution. We could look at the Old Testament and see many in the Old Testament that were persecuted. They were pursued with the intent to harm. Remember Elijah? Just been months ago, I was preaching on Sunday nights about Elijah. Remember how Ahab was pursuing Elijah? Obadiah said, oh, my King Ahab, he's looked for you everywhere, Elijah. I don't think he was looking for him to give him a hug. No, he was looking with the intent to harm. You see, Elijah was being persecuted. Daniel was persecuted. Jeremiah was persecuted. We could go, the Hebrew boys, when they stood up, when everybody else was bowing down, they were persecuted. They were put into the fire. And we could go through the Old Testament and we could look example after example of Christians that were persecuted. We could go through the New Testament. We could look at Acts, how that Stephen, the Bible says, was stoned to death. He was being persecuted for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could talk about how that Peter was cast into prison. He was persecuted for his faith in Christ. We could talk about how John, pastor was talking about the book of Revelation this morning, and I couldn't help but think, wow, what John saw there in the book of Revelation. I mean, John got a glimpse of glory. John got to see the throne room of God, but do you know where he got to do it from? The Isle of Patmos. Being persecuted for his faith. And we could go on down through the disciples and through the apostles and through the prophets, and we could go down through all of history, even into modern history and through the church age and even up to today, and we could see Christian after Christian after Christian that was persecuted for their faith, that was pursued with the intent to harm or to injure. That is what the word persecution means. It is a violent, that is one method. I talked about the method of persecution. One of the methods of persecution is violence. And I believe that's what Jesus is talking about. If you look up that word in verse number 10, in verse number 11, in verse number 12, where it says that they blessed are they that are persecuted, that word is to be pursued with the intent to harm. It speaks of violence. Jesus says, hey, there are Christians that are going to be pursued with the intent to harm. There's going to be people that are going to come against them with violence. You know, it could happen to us. It really could. I'm not saying that it will, but it could. Jesus said, if it does, you're blessed. I want to remind you of that tonight. Because if you're like me, I know some of you are waiting for it. You're like, man, I hope that comes. I can't wait. I'm going to fight. I'll just be honest with you. I'm just a big sissy sometimes. I'm not looking forward to it if it comes. But I'll tell you this, as I was studying this passage of scripture, I was reminded, if it does come, I'm blessed. It's going to be okay. I'm on the right side of things. And you are too if you're a Christian. And Jesus said, hey, there's a method of persecution. It's violence. I could go on and on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 says this. You ought to read the Hebrews chapter 11. We talk about that hall of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. I love when you get down to the end of it. I almost wrote more verses down than I did. But Hebrews chapter 11, listen to this. Verse 37 says this. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. You ought to do the history and the study of what that means. What they would do to these people to torture these Christians. They would take those skins of those sheep and those goats and they would wrap them around them and they would send them out into the wilderness and the hot sun would begin to dry out that skin and it would basically smother them to death. They wandered about, it says, in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, listen, tormented. But I like what the Bible says after that. It's got in parentheses, of whom the world was not worthy. They were blessed. It doesn't sound like it, but they were blessed. The Bible says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Talking about those heroes of the faith. And if you read down through Hebrews chapter number 11, you're going to see one after another, after another, after another that were persecuted for their faith. And Jesus said, hey, if you're persecuted, you're blessed. And I know that doesn't sound real good, but Jesus said it. Pastor said, we're talking about the good life, right? The good life. I don't know if you were to ask me what the good life is that I would have put persecution in it. But Jesus did. Jesus said, blessed are you when you're persecuted. And so we see not only is persecution, I'm explaining persecution to you, not only the method of persecution, is it violence, but I'll tell you this, it can be verbal. Look at verse number 11. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That's an interesting word. When men shall revile you and persecute you, look at it, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So Jesus says persecution can come in numerous forms. So one method of persecution is violence. It's pursuing with the intent to harm. But you know, there's another method of persecution, and maybe some people in here tonight have experienced this method of persecution. You know, persecution not only comes in the form of violence, but persecution can come in the form of verbal, right? People can say things about you, revile you. That word revile means to reproach with a contemptuous language. It means to talk bad about you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When they ran down the Lord Jesus, when they reproached the Lord Jesus, when they talked down to the Lord Jesus, he didn't talk back to them that way. You see, but you can be reproached, you can be reviled verbally. Yes, you can be reproached or you can be persecuted with violence, but you can also be persecuted verbally. So it talks about you being reviled when people shall say all manner of evil about you, to shame or to slander you. You know, Jesus was slandered like none other. I was just thinking about all the times that Jesus was slandered. They said he was an illegitimate child. It's almost hard for me to even say that. I almost feel blasphemous even repeating what the Bible says that they said about the Lord Jesus. They talked about his parents and said that he was an illegitimate child. They called him a Samaritan. They called him a son of Beelzebub. They said that he'd done his miracles by Beelzebub. We could go on and on with all of the slander and all of the things that they said about the Lord Jesus. They were constantly making up lies about him and about who he was and always talking about him. They were persecuting him. And can I tell you, they'll do it to you. They'll do it to me. Persecution doesn't just come in the form of violence. Persecution can come in the form of verbal. People will talk about you. People will make up things about you. I was thinking about this, and it's just the way it is. It's the truth. You know, I can't tell you the times that I've heard stuff said about this man. Over the last 18 years, and if you've been in this community very long, you've probably heard some stuff said. You know why? Because that's what they'll do. They'll make up stuff about you. They'll tell lies on you. Why? Because it's a form of persecution. We'll see why here in a moment. So number one, I want to explain persecution. I'm talking about the methods of persecution. It can come in the form of violence, but it can also come verbally. People will revile you. They'll say all evil against you, all manner of evil against you. And so there's violence. There's verbal persecution. So that's the methods. I want to look at the motives. Why? Why do people persecute us? Or why would someone persecute you? Why does Jesus say these people will be persecuted? Well, first, I think he says it because of their stand. Look at verse number 10. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus said they're going to persecute you for where you stand, for righteousness' sake. I wrote down here, and I want to make sure I say this. When it's true persecution, it should be done for our stand and not our spirit. Did you catch that? See, some people, they got a bad spirit. And they want to get up and they want to just rip people's faces off and you know, call it good preaching, and they do it with a bad spirit, and then people persecute them and they say, man, they're just persecuting me. Well, it may not be because of your stand, it might be because of your spirit. You understand what I'm saying? If you go to work tomorrow, and there's a way to tell somebody that adultery's wrong, okay? That's a good stand. Adultery's wrong. Abortion is wrong, okay? That transgender movement that's going on in our country, it's wrong, right? And if we stand against that stuff, we may get persecuted for it. But if we do get persecuted for it, I hope it's for our stand and not for our spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if we're not careful, we'll get the wrong spirit, and then we'll think, oh, they're persecuting me because of my stand, when really they're just persecuting you because of your spirit, right? Because they're treating you the way you treat them. But I'm saying, hey, if we stand in the right place, we're probably going to suffer persecution. Jesus said they're going to persecute you for righteousness' sake, for standing in the right place. People are going to persecute you. If you listen to me, young people, hey, if you stand for right, you may get persecuted.
That's right.
You may not get violently persecuted, but you may get verbally persecuted. And it may happen at the public school, but can I tell you, it may happen at the Christian school. It may happen at Sunday school.
That's right.
If you stand for right, if you stand for the word of God and you stand for what's right, can I tell you, Jesus said they're going to persecute you violently or verbally. They will persecute you if you stand for right. But we ought to stand anyway. Now do it with the right spirit, but we ought to stand. We ought to stand for what's right. I was thinking last week, and I got to say this. Last week we were talking about being peacemakers. I hope some of you were peacemakers this Thanksgiving. I didn't really have to be. It wasn't any controversy at my house, and so wasn't no need to be a peacemaker. Cowboys were playing the Redskins. I could care less who won, and so there was no peacemaking to be done. But I hope for those of you that had an opportunity, you were a peacemaker. But you may remember last week when I was preaching about peace, being a peacemaker, I said it's always purity before peace. And I really wish I would have said this during my message last week because I think it's very important. You may understand it, but I want to clarify it. You know, the Bible talks about purity before peace. There's verse scripture says, righteousness and peace have kissed one another. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And I said, hey, you know, it's always, you always do the right thing, and the right thing will bring about peace. Can I tell you, there's a difference between being a pacifist and a peacemaker?
Right.
I do want to make that real clear. Being a peacemaker is not always being a pacifist. You say, what's a pacifist, Brother David? Putting a pacifier in a baby's mouth, right? Giving them their way. That's not always being a peacemaker. Purity before peace. You know, sometimes purity isn't always easy. Righteousness isn't always easy, but it's always right. And righteousness brings about peace. So I don't want anybody to think when I was talking last week about being a peacemaker that I was saying, hey, be a pacifist and give people their way. No, you stand for purity. You do what's right. And if you do what's right, that'll bring about peace. It won't always be easy, but the result of righteousness is peace. Okay? And so Jesus says, another result of righteousness, I'm connecting the dots here. Remember, we talked about these Beatitudes. They're like a ladder you're climbing. They're rungs on a ladder. And if we're peacemakers, can I tell you, the next thing that's going to happen is probably going to be persecution, because this world doesn't want peace. And if you do what's right, if you're pure, it's going to bring about peace, but it could also bring about persecution. Because righteousness brings persecution. This world doesn't like when people do right. I give you a verse of scripture. That Proverbs 29 verse 27 says this: he that is upright in his ways is an abomination to the wicked. He that is upright in his ways is an abomination to the wicked. See, when we do righteous, the world's not going to like that. Why? Because light expels darkness. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so when we live a righteous life, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. Guess what? The world doesn't like it. And you know what they'll do? They'll persecute us. That's what's going to happen if we live right. Righteousness. Jesus said that is the, so we talked about the methods of persecution. Jesus said that's the motive of persecution. That's why you're going to be persecuted, for doing right. I'm going somewhere with this. Here in a little bit, we're going to really dig in here at the end, and I hope that it'll be a challenge to you as it's been to me. So number one, we see the motive is their stand, and we ought to stand right. I could preach all night about standing right. We ought to stand right, and if we stand right, I believe we're going to get persecution, especially in the day in which we're living. If you stand with this Bible right here, I'm not talking about if you stand with conservatism, okay? Jesus didn't say you're blessed if you stand with conservatism. I think you ought to stand with conservatism. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. See, some people want to think that, oh, if I stand with the right, then Jesus says I'm blessed. No, that's not the right he's talking about, okay? Politically speaking, it's not about a political cause. It's not about what we think is right. It's about what his Bible says is right. If we stand on what the word of God says is right, Jesus says, you're going to be persecuted. They're going to persecute you. If you stand on the right thing. And so number one, their motive is our stand. But number two, and this is the big, big motive, it's our Savior. Look at verse number 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Look at it. For my sake. So Jesus said, hey, they're going to persecute you for your stand, for righteousness' sake. If you stand in the right place, if you stand on the word of God, if you stand on what is absolute truth, Jesus says they're going to persecute you. But if you also don't just stand on righteousness, but you stand, you don't just have a stand, they'll persecute you for that, but they'll also persecute you for your Savior. They don't like that name, Jesus. This world doesn't like the name Jesus. John 15, 20, Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. He said, they hated me, they'll hate you. Jesus said, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, Peter said this. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer, listen, as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Peter said, make sure when you're suffering, when you're being persecuted, it's not because you stuck your nose where it didn't belong, but it's because you're a Christian. It's because you're doing right. It's because you named the name of Christ. And so Jesus says they'll persecute you not only for your stand, but they'll persecute you for your Savior. I was thinking about as we head into this Christmas season, don't let them intimidate you about talking about Christ. They don't have a problem, and I say they, I think you understand what I'm saying, the world, and even some of Christendom. Christian, you know, some of the greatest persecution that's ever happened in the history of the world has come from Christians. It's not always the world that persecutes. If you stand for God, Christians might persecute you. If you stand at the right place, Christianity, and I say Christianity, might come after you. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Don't let the world intimidate you from talking about Jesus. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, right? They want to put Merry Xmas. Always trying to X out Christ, right? Don't let them take Christ out of Christmas. But they don't have a problem with the season. They have a problem with Christ, right? They don't have a problem with you praying. Just don't pray in the name of Christ. They don't have a problem with many people's religion as long as it doesn't mention Christ. It's Christ that they have a problem with. And Jesus said, hey, when they revile you and when they persecute you and when they talk all evil of manner against you falsely for my sake, he said, you're blessed. And so we're talking about persecution. I'm trying to explain it. The methods of persecution, the motives of persecution. It's because of their stand. It's because of their Savior. Now I want to look at this, the effects of persecution. You say, what's going to happen if I get persecuted? Well, look at verse number 10. Jesus says, blessed. You're going to be blessed. Jesus said, you're going to be blessed when you get persecuted. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Look at verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So I want to look at two effects of persecution for the cause of Christ. Well, number one, there's the incentive, right? He said, great is your reward. You know there's a reward for being persecuted for Christ's sake? The Bible says, great is your reward. You know what that tells me? That heaven's not going to be the same for everybody. Some people's reward is going to be great, and some people's is not. I heard one man say it this way. I really liked it. I heard one man say a while back, he said that I think it was John Bunyan that maybe gave this illustration. He was talking about heaven, and he said that we're all gonna have fullness when we get to heaven, but some of our cups are going to be a little bigger. I thought, that's good. It's all going to be full because it's heaven. If you make it there, you're blessed, right? You're going to be full. But some people's cup's going to be a little bigger. Right? You say, I don't believe that, brother David. Well, you need to study your Bible. Look, if you could look over in chapter 6 of Matthew. Look at what Jesus said in verse number 20. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Right? Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know what that means? That means that some people got more up there than others do. That's incentive. Right? Jesus said, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. You know what that means? That means that there's things that we can do in this life. There's rewards that we can earn in this life. There's crowns, as Pastor mentioned this morning in the book of Revelation, that we're going to cast at his feet. And I'm just convinced some people are going to have more crowns to cast than others. And so Jesus said, hey, when you're persecuted for my sake, you're blessed. You know why? Because great is your reward in heaven. You're going to have some crowns to cast at his feet. And so not only do we see the incentive or the rewards, not only is it an incentive of rewards, but I put this, you know, persecution is an incentive for relationship. I mentioned that at the beginning. I'm convinced that one of the reasons that we don't have the relationship with God that we should have is because we don't really think we need it. But when you're being persecuted, when you're put in a position where all you have is God, then you realize he's all you need. When you realize there's nobody else that can help me as I sit in this prison cell, you realize he's the only one that can help me. You see, the Apostle Paul, he understood this truth. Paul understood, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I'm willing to, what did he say in Corinthians? He said, for this light affliction is but for a moment, comparatively speaking with what lays ahead. And so when we're persecuted, it not only gives us the incentive of rewards, but it gives us the incentive of relationship. It gives us that incentive of relying on God when we realize he's all we've got. And so we see not only the incentives, but we also see the identification. Look at verse number 12. He says, rejoice. Why? Why would I rejoice if I'm persecuted? Be exceeding glad. Why? Why would I be exceeding glad when I'm persecuted? Well, one, because of the incentives, because of the rewards, because of the great reward that's laid up for you in heaven. But look at what else he says. He says, great is your reward in heaven. Look at this. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He says, not only is there an incentive of rewards, but there's an identification, right, with those before. Jesus says, when you're persecuted, you're identifying with Daniel. You're identifying with Jeremiah. You're identifying with the Apostle Paul. You're identifying with the Apostle Peter. You're identifying with John Bunyan. You're identifying with all these great Christians down through the years and through the ages that have been persecuted for their faith. Jesus says, hey, when you're persecuted, you're blessed because you have a reward in heaven, but you also have an identification with those that have gone before you. And so Jesus, we see the effects. We get to identify with a great company of saints. And so we see, number one, the explanation. Number two, the effects. And number three, and I'm done, the examination. This is the part that really gets me. I got a question. We could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I said a couple weeks ago, I believe it was the message I preached on mercy, that these Beatitudes are more like a mirror than a map. You remember that? Some people look at the Beatitudes and they look at the Sermon on the Mount and they think it's a map to get to heaven. And I said, you can't look at it that way. This is not a map to get to heaven. It is a mirror to tell you if you're going to heaven. You understand? It's evidence. These Beatitudes are evidences that a person is saved. He says, blessed are they. If you are these things, then you're blessed, right? And so it's not a map, it's a mirror. And can I tell you, when I look in the mirror of these Beatitudes, I don't know that there's any Beatitude that challenges my life more than this one that we're talking about tonight. I don't know that there's a Beatitude that challenges me, that makes me examine my own self more than the Beatitude that we're looking at tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 12. Paul said, yea,
and all. Why don't I underline that word? And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I don't know about you, but when I study my Bible and when I prepare to preach, I always do inventory on myself first. And I've got to ask myself this question I want to ask you tonight. Am I suffering any persecution? That's a hard question. Because if I'm not, if I'm wrong, Pastor, correct me. And I mean that. But based on what Jesus said here in the Beatitudes, and based on what the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and based on many other scriptures that I believe I could show you, if I'm not suffering some form of persecution, now I'm not saying they got to be dragging me out in the street and tying me to the back of a vehicle and dragging me down 29, but I'm saying this, if there's not people that are talking about me, if there's not people that are reviling me, if there's not people that are slandering me, if there's not people that want to pursue me with the intent to do harm or injury, it really makes me question how I'm living. Because if I truly live righteously, if I truly stand on what this Bible right here teaches, if I really claim the name of Christ, I'll give you a quote by a man, I'm getting ready to close. I'll give you a quote by a man, one of Pastor's favorite men to read after, Martin Lloyd-Jones. This is what Martin Lloyd-Jones said talking about this verse of scripture right here. He said, if you try to imitate Christ, the world will praise you. If you become Christ-like, it will hate you. And I'm afraid we're living in 2023, going into 2024 America. And we've gotten real good at imitating Christ. We know how to play church. We know all the lingo. We know how to act like a Christian, right? But if we become Christ-like, if we really stand up for what's right, if we stand upon the word of God and we do it with a good spirit and we name the name of Christ in our community and in our country and around this world, can I tell you, Jesus said, you will suffer persecution. And I don't know about you, but that challenges me. You know why it challenges me? Because I know it's so. There's been times in my life where I stood for what was right, and I done it with the right spirit, but I wouldn't back down, and I didn't give in. Pastor was talking about sin this morning, and I stood against sin, and I done it with a good spirit. And can I tell you, people don't like it. But if we're not careful, you know what we'll do? We'll get so used to the dark that we'll start to imitate Christ, and we'll live this Christian life, but we won't do it right. And we might name the name of Christ, but we won't name it everywhere we go. We won't carry it everywhere we go. And you know what'll happen? This world will be okay with us. But when we stand up for really what's truly right and we live a righteous life and we name the name of Christ, Jesus said, hey, you're going to be persecuted, but don't worry, you're blessed. You're blessed. And so I don't know about you, but I'm just telling you, that challenges me. I wonder when the last time somebody in your family, maybe some of you experienced it this week, you insisted on praying at Thanksgiving dinner, and aunt, I'm not going to say a name because it might be your aunt, Susie didn't like it. I shouldn't have said that. Doris, I think Aunt Susie wouldn't mind, right? But they didn't like it. And maybe they persecuted you verbally, right? They didn't throw turkey at you and violently persecute you, but verbally they persecuted you. I don't know, maybe it's happened to you recently. But I'll tell you this, if we stand for right in this world in which we're living, if you young people go to school and you say, I'm not going to do that, that's not right. I'm not going to look at that. That's not right. I'm not going to talk about that. That's not right. I'm not going to be a part of this. It's not right. Can I tell you, I guarantee you, you do that enough, you stand up for right enough, somebody's going to talk about you. But it'll happen to us too if we do it on the workplace. If we do it at the job. If we do it at the family get-together. If we stand for what's right, we are going to be persecuted because that's what the Bible says. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have had to make those hard decisions and say, guess what? We're not going to the birthday party. Why? Because it's on the Lord's day and we're going to do what's right. No, we're not coming to the get-together because everybody's going to get drunk and I don't want my children around that stuff. We're not going to do that. We're going to stand for what's right. And if you do that, you mark it down, they're going to talk about you. But guess what? Jesus said you're blessed. They talked about me, they'll talk about you, but you're doing all right. You're living the good life. Don't let them make you believe when you stand for what's right and when you stand for Christ that you're the one that's losing. No, you're not. You're living the good life. You're blessed. You're blessed. And so stand for right. Stand for Jesus because Jesus said when you do, you're blessed even if they persecute you. And they will persecute you. I'm going to finish. Let's just examine ourselves. You examine yourself. I've been examining myself this week. When was the last time somebody got mad at me? Not for my spirit, because I can get a bad spirit. But when was the last time somebody got mad at me because of my stand? Because I wanted to stand for what was right. If I do it enough, you mark it down. It won't be long. You're going to suffer some persecution. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we've looked into the mirror of the Word of God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take your Word tonight and just do a work in the hearts of your people. God, how we need you, Lord. Help us to stand for right in these wicked days in which we live. God, help us to do it the right way with the right spirit. But God, I pray that you would help us to stand. And Lord, if persecution comes to our lives or even to our country, God, I pray that you'd help us to remember that there's a great reward for those that name the name of Christ. God, give us the courage and the boldness to do what so many before us have done, and that's live right for you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have the pianist begin to play. And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, you can come. There's so many verses of scripture just running through my mind as I'm praying that I didn't even mention. In the book of Acts, Peter and those disciples in that early church, and when they were brought in and they were beaten and they were told, don't you speak anymore in that name. They said, we can't help but speak in that name. And you know what they done after they were beaten, after they were put in prison? The Bible says they went on their way rejoicing. Why? Because they were worthy to suffer for his name's sake. And so if that comes, if you do right, if you're a young person and you stand for what's right, and some of those kids you go to school with, or maybe even some of those kids you go to Sunday school with, maybe even some of those kids out on this field after church, they want to mock you and make fun of you and talk bad about you because you want to do the right thing, you just remember you're blessed. You're blessed. If you go to work tomorrow and you stand for what's right, you stand for Christ. May cost you your job. It really could. May cost you your job. But if it does, Jesus said, don't worry. You're blessed. Your job gives you treasures here on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves can break through and steal. But Jesus said, hey, when you suffer persecution for my name's sake, I've got a reward for you up in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt and where thieves can't break through and steal. He says, you're going to be all right. You're blessed. And so God help us to stand for right, even if it means being persecuted. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus said, for my sake, Pastor. Thank you.
going to ask Kirsten to continue to play softly. Thank you, Pastor David, for a good Bible message on a subject that we hear so little about here in America, but is prominent around the world. Could be coming to a town near you, me. If it does, I trust it will take the truths that we've heard tonight and apply them to our lives. And I do believe when you live right and take the right stand, there'll be people say some things, but just have to respond accordingly and just do what's right. God will honor that. Would you take a few moments and search your heart? Examine your heart. We're getting ready to pull up to the Lord's table. So just examine your heart. If there's anything between you and the Savior, I pray that you would make that right. Don't take the Lord's table lightly now. Don't be flippant about such a holy matter. I implore you to search your heart.